So, the book of Exodus is the second book of the Bible, and it was written by a guy named Moses. And we see in Exodus that it's God's story of how he brings his people, a slave nation, out of Egypt and eventually into the promised land in Joshua. In the closing chapter of Genesis, we left with God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, living in a land that's not their own. They were living in the land of Egypt. And when Joseph passed away, there was a new Pharaoh, and he ruled Egypt pretty harshly. He'd forgotten the great and wonderful things that the Lord and Joseph did for Egypt. So we see here in Exodus that Pharaoh attempted to use slavery to oppress and control Israel. But if you remember last week's message, you'll know that what Pharaoh intended for evil, God intended for good. We see in Exodus that our Lord, the Passover Lamb, the I Am, he fights Israel's battles. He fights their Pharaoh. We'll see that the Lord brings his people out of slavery and out of bondage. So in the next chapter, we're introduced to one of the Old Testament's most central characters. Moses walks on screen. We are told how God is watching over Moses even as an infant. He protected him in the Nile River. We see that Moses, he was born a Hebrew, a Jew. However, through a miraculous provision from God, Moses was raised up and grew up in the home of Pharaoh's own daughter. Moses grew up in a palace and probably lived a pretty cushy lifestyle. After all, while his people lived in squalor as slaves, he lived in the most splendid house in all of Egypt. When Moses became a man, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And he looked around, he looked to the people beside him, and he saw that there was no one around, so he killed the Egyptian. He then fled into the wilderness where he lived out a good chunk of his days as a shepherd. That is until the day God met him in an unexpected way, which is where we'll pick up in chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Hebron, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses! He said, here I am. And he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land to a good and broad land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be your sign for you, that I have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this very mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. So we see here in Exodus 3 that God in a burning bush is speaking to Moses. He has a battle plan, a roadmap for how he's going to deliver his people from squalor and servitude to servants of the Most High God. Exodus 3 is essential for every believer to read because it's here that God reveals his identity. It's here that God reveals to man what his holy name is. His eternal name, which is I Am. Here in Exodus, our God, the Lord, is on a rescue mission to save his people and bring them out of slavery. Our Lord tells Moses that he will do this through a series of plagues that will demonstrate God's wonder and power. The Lord will surely bring Egypt, the most powerful nation at this time in the ancient world, to its knees. Over the next set of chapters, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh 10 times and ask him to let their people go. But 9 times, Pharaoh refuses. After each request, the Lord sends 10 plagues. And don't forget, as we're reading through the book of Exodus, as we go through the Bible, these are real people with real lives. This is true history. People really experienced all of these things. So, here are the 10 plagues. Are you ready for them? Are you ready for them? You've got water turned to blood, frogs, gnats, flies, Egyptian livestock die, the Egyptian people and animals, they get horrible, great big boils. There's hail, there's locusts, there's darkness. And number 10, the death of the firstborn son. The 10th and final plague in particular is the worst. And this plague is what finally crushes Pharaoh's heart. Earlier in Exodus, we heard how Pharaoh, he decided to kill all the firstborn babies of Israel, all the firstborn sons. He wanted to weaken and disrupt their population. But the Lord, in chapter 11, he warns Pharaoh, gives him proper warning, that God is going to do what Egypt did to his people. The Lord is going to kill all the firstborn sons of Egypt if Pharaoh does not let the Hebrews go. But Pharaoh, with a hard heart, would not listen. The Lord has been fighting Pharaoh with these plagues, and now it was time to throw down the gauntlet. It was time to throw the finishing punch. The Lord warns his people, the Hebrews, that if they want to be saved from the angel of death, they must sacrifice the Passover lamb. Exodus 12, 21 through 32, it says this. Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select the lambs for yourself according to your clan. Kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin. Touch the linnet and the 2 doorposts with the blood at the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians when he sees the blood on the door. The Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. So the Lord, we see, is providing deliverance for the Jews. He tells them, this is what I'm going to do if Pharaoh doesn't listen. Pharaoh rejects God another time. And God says, all right, but I will provide a way for my people. I will provide safety and security through the blood of the Passover lamb. They have life because of the lamb that was slain. So let's continue in verse 29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, all the firstborn of the livestock as well. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, Go up out from my people. Both you and your people of Israel, go, serve the Lord. Take your livestock and your herds and be gone. Bless me also. There's so much suffering in the land of Egypt. So many plagues, so many trials because of one man's hard heart. There was so much suffering because Pharaoh would not listen to the Lord. However, even though many Egyptians were in mourning that night, the Hebrews, they were spared from this plague because of the Passover lamb. So we see Pharaoh in grief. He finally lets the Hebrews go. About 1 million Hebrews exit Egypt and become the nation of Israel. The Israelites, they'd go on to do many great things. They'd cross the Red Sea. They'd wander for 40 years. God would provide his law and the Ten Commandments. And finally, in the book of Joshua, we finally see the Israelites enter the promised land. So what can we learn from the Exodus narrative? Well, the three essential takeaways from Exodus are one, Jesus, he fights our pharaohs. Two, Jesus is the I am of the Old Testament. And three, Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus, he fights our pharaohs. In the book of Exodus, Moses and Aaron, in their time of need, they turn to the Lord. And the Lord used plagues to fight Pharaoh. The Lord used plagues as a physical representation of how he was fighting for the Israelites. Moses, when he lived in the palace, he took matters into his own hands, right? He killed an Egyptian when no one was looking. However, we see when Moses returns to Israel, when he's up against Pharaoh, when he's up against the most powerful nation, we see that he doesn't turn to his own strength. He didn't rely on his own merits. He didn't rally an army to go take back the capital city. No. Moses, he didn't do any of that. What he did is he waited on the Lord. Moses turned to God to fight his Pharaoh. He did not force circumstances and push to get resolution, but instead he turned to the one who loved him. He turned to the Lord and waited for instruction from God. The Lord fought Pharaoh for Moses. All throughout the Bible, we see character after character, story after story of those who are trusting in God and turning to God to fight their battles. Deuteronomy 20:1-4, it says this. When you go out to war against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots and a large army than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to battle, the priests shall come forward and speak to the people. They shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart grow faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes before you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory." Clearly in Scripture, we can see that Jesus is fighting for and fighting amongst the Israelites. And he wants to fight your battles too. You see, sometimes in life, we as Christians and really non-Christians alike, we think, well, if I can just be a little bit better, then, you know, then I'll achieve my next goal. If I can just read 10 books throughout the year, then, you know, I'll have success. If I can read the whole Bible in 1 year, I'll be a better Christian. Or if I can just go to church, maybe I'll score some points with God. But the problem is that when we try to fight our battles on our own, it's a lot of me and I, and what can I do? How can I rely on my own strength? But when we look to Scripture, when we look to the Bible, when we look to the gospel clearly says to rely on Christ's strength. Rely on the Passover lamb. So that's my encouragement for you today, friends. It's to turn to God and consult the Lord. Let Jesus fight the Pharaohs in your life. Let Jesus fight whatever battle you're going through. Jesus, he wants to be a part of it. He wants to fight the mean, ugly Pharaoh in your life. So you might be asking yourself, okay, well, I want God to fight my battles, right? I want him to be in my army. Well, how do I accomplish that? Well, by turning to God, by praying to him, by daily devotion in his word. A lot of times in life we hear, follow your heart, follow your dreams. And while those folks mean well, a lot of times the heart doesn't want what God wants. Our hearts, they don't crave sometimes what God wants. And so my encouragement to you is don't follow your own heart, follow Christ. Submit to the Bible, submit to the teachings of Scripture, dwell on Scripture, and have Scripture flood your life. Surrender your wants and desires to Jesus. Submit to Jesus in all your ways. Let Jesus and the Bible be the compass for your life. Let Jesus fight your Pharaoh. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, we will overcome because of the one who overcame sin and death on the cross. Let Jesus fight your battles, friends. Let Jesus fight your Pharaoh. So here's the second takeaway in Exodus. Jesus is the I am in Exodus. And his name is holy and sacred. Now, I love the book of John. It's one of my favorite gospels. And in John, Jesus makes 7 I am statements. He's literally saying, I am. He's using the name of God. He's saying, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus is the same God of Genesis and Exodus. He's the same God throughout the rest of creation. He's the same God who's fighting Pharaoh. He's the same God throughout the entire book of the Bible. The Lord said back in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus says to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in John 8:56, he says this, your father Abraham rejoiced that you would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And I bring up this passage because it's so crucial, it's so essential for every believer to know that Jesus, the I am, is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It's so important to know the name of our Lord. Jesus is stating that he is God, he is the I am, and we know Jesus is the same forever. And we know that his name must be kept holy and cherished and honored. Cherish the name of our Lord Jesus and don't take his name in vain. Hold fast to the love of Christ. Hold fast to Jesus' name and keep it in high regard. Strive to only speak what is biblically accurate about our God. You see, on Instagram or social media, lots of people have lots of theories about our God and what's important and all those things. But my encouragement to you is to speak what's biblically accurate about the name of our Lord Jesus. Cherish and love the name of our Lord. How many times in your daily devotion do you tell Jesus that you love him? I know it's kind of odd, but every relationship, every healthy relationship, they say, I love you. And hopefully you get, and I love you too. And so how many times do you tell Jesus that you love him? And so friends, when we cherish the name of Jesus, we want to tell him we love him. And so here's the third takeaway from Exodus. It's that Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. And don't miss this. I'm not just geeking out here about the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm not just going on and on and on about how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. This is truly, truly important. In Exodus, the final plague in Egypt was by far the worst. We get that. The final plague was the Lord taking the life of all the firstborn males in Egypt. However, our God, he offered a way out. The Lord, he offered the Passover lamb as a way out for his people. For those who wanted to be saved, they had to slaughter a pure lamb without blemish and put the blood on their doorposts. The death of the innocent lamb brought life to those in the house. In the literal exact same way, Jesus is our Passover lamb. He died on the cross literally during Passover. Jesus is our lamb who brings life to all who believe in his name. John the Baptist, he said about Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We see similar sentiments in Isaiah 53:4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." We know that the prophet Isaiah, of course, was speaking about Jesus in this passage. Jesus, he is the Passover lamb who came to take away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. He chose to go to the cross. He went there for you and me." The Bible upholds Jesus as our Passover lamb, right? "By his wounds, we have been healed. Therefore, we must know that only through faith in Jesus, we make it into heaven. Only through Jesus, we will be saved from our trials here on earth. Only through the blood of the Lamb, we have everlasting life." I remember a man I met once. He told me, "Well, you know, I don't really go to church. I don't really know a lot about God, but if I'm a good person, as long as I'm not bad, I'll make it into heaven, right?" But Jesus, he says, "No. You have to love me. You have to have faith. You don't get to heaven by being a good person." So many in today's world are caught in that trap. You don't need to be a good enough person to enter the kingdom of heaven. The wages of sin are death. You can never buy your way into heaven. You can never give your way into heaven. You can never fight your way into heaven. The only way to the golden gates is to have faith in our Lord Jesus. He paid the price for your sin. All you have to do is have faith and believe. Maybe you've already been awakened to that reality. Maybe you show up to Oak Grove week in and week out. Does your lifestyle reflect that reality? Would the people at your office or at your workplace or at your job site, would they know that you're a follower of Jesus by your actions? Does your lifestyle reflect that you are cleansed by the saving blood of Jesus Christ? Does your lifestyle reflect that you love God's word and keep his commandments? Do you come to church just to earn Bible points? Or do you come to church because you love God and want so dearly to make him known? Do you walk and talk and live out the gospel each day? Do you feel weighed down by the sin and temptations in your life? You can be born again Christian and still struggle with temptations. But I have wonderful news. By the blood of Jesus, by his wounds, we are healed. I know so many of us are going through so many trials in our life. And we just need that simple reminder. Jesus says to be still and know that I am God. By the blood of Jesus, by the Passover lamb, by his wounds, you've been saved. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sin in my heart and your heart and for all those who believe. We love Jesus so much because we could never comprehend his love for us. He chose to go to the cross. He chose the pain and suffering so that you may trust in the one who loves you. He chose crucifixion so that you can walk with him in paradise. It is by grace through faith in Jesus that you and I have been saved. So does your lifestyle reflect that? Does your lifestyle reflect the grace of God? Do you dwell on that grace every day? Or are you bound up, held captive in Egypt? Are you held captive by a Pharaoh in your life that you just can't seem to conquer on your own? Are you bound up and held captive by the law? Do you feel like you just have to be a good enough person? Are you bound up by the fears and tears of this life? My friend, the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, he paid the price so you don't have to be bound up anymore. He set us free from all of our sin, our shame, our guilt, our pain. So live in grace, live in the grace of Jesus, live with Jesus, our Passover lamb. Now, I'll admit, Exodus, it's a pretty wild book. You know, there's lots of things that go on that I simply just can't explain. You know, it leaves the reader to say, this doesn't just happen. You know, the ground doesn't just open up and swallow people alive. That has to be God. It doesn't just happen that a million captives just walk out of their slavery. It doesn't just happen that seas open up and people just walk through on dry ground. The book of Exodus, it points the reader to say, oh, this was God. This was Jesus. And this beautiful book of Exodus, it's true history that I hope you read someday soon. In Exodus, the nation of Israel, they were held captive as slaves by Pharaoh in Egypt. But the Lord raised up a man named Moses to deliver his people. God revealed his name to Moses as I Am, a name that must be cherished and treasured for all time. The Lord, he used plagues against Egypt as a physical representation of how he was fighting their Pharaoh. And the final plague, it brought death and destruction. However, for those who sacrificed the Passover lamb were saved. And likewise, we too today, friends, we must cherish the name of Jesus. We must turn to our God, the living God, to fight our pharaohs in our life. And we have to have faith in our Passover lamb. He came to take away the sin of the world so that you and I will be saved. We must have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time we have together. Lord, I just pray as we go into this time of response that, Lord, you give us ears to hear your wonderful word. You give us eyes to see all that you do in our life. You give us hearts that love you, that serve you. Father, thank you so much for everything that you do. Lord Jesus, I just pray today as we exit out, as we make our own exodus from this building, that Lord, you be with us, you lead us and guide us step by step. Let your word go deep down into our hearts today. In Jesus' almighty name, amen.